Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
It's February 9th, 1539, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ali, the Retrospectors.
Prior to being banned in 1533, a bloody type of football called the Gotted's Day or Shrove Tuesday football match used to be played annually at Rodey Field by the side of the River Dee in Chester. But in an act of what I can only assume was an early kind of gentrification, it was on this day in 1539 that the new mayor of Chester, Henry G, more on him later, repurposed that same tract of land for the country's first ever recorded horse racing meet.
Yeah, I mean, you say first ever recorded horse racing meet. It's sort of ridiculous to try and decipher what the horse race was through Britain, because although obviously codified race meetings at a track can be traced back to a particular day, the idea of, you know, taking the most popular early transport of all civilization and then getting another guy to see if he can go faster than you, that feels like quite a basic idea that must have been going since the Roman times, right?
Yeah. I think recorded is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that opening sentence.
The earliest reports we have of horse races as a general phenomenon date to 4,500 BC in Central Asia.
There we go.
It's a bit earlier.
Horse racing, still very popular. But what we can say for definite, though, is that this was the first horse racing meet at the oldest surviving racecourse in Great Britain. There, you can still go to Chester Racecourse now. It's on the exact same place, probably a little bit more in the way of amenities than there were in 1539, but you could still go there and see horse racing in the, you know, in broadly the same format that you would have seen it at the time.
Yeah, there's also the Kipling Coates Derby, though. So listeners in Yorkshire, before you write in complaining, saying, well, that ran uninterrupted from 1519 until 1947. Yes, but that's off-road. We're not here to talk about the off-road racing.
Nope.
We're here to talk about the horse racing in a course that is still happening now. Is that enough qualifies for you,
that,
Chester?
That got recorded and is in England.
So anyway, having slightly debunked our own myth-making, why was this a significant event, Arian?
Well, one of the most significant little parts of it is that Henry G, that mayor of Chester, it's his name that became synonymous with racehorses. And the reason why they're called Gigi's today is because of Henry G.
Absolutely not, Arian. I'm going to stop you
there. Well, that's what I've got.
This is classic folk etymology, and I've got to stop it. I've got to stop it right here in its tracks.
Even the challenge, nope, had me doubting myself.
I don't want to be a party pooper, but I will.
This will, for future generations, be regarded as a Messina intervention. That's what it's going to be called.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's like, I don't want to spoil the fun. And yet there's something inside me that just can't stop myself. Although he was called Henry G and horses are often called Gigi's, it is almost definitely related to the order G up that someone might give a horse. Sorry.
Ah, yeah.
Which started when?
Oh, before this, a challenge.
Before this, I'll tell you that.
From the bench.
You know, I don't have my history book to hand. 1538, actually. And we don't know too much about what this first horse racing meet looked like. We do know that the winner received a set of silver bells to hang from their bridle, which doesn't sound that exciting, but definitely improvement on previous races in Chester where the prize was a painted wooden ball.
Also, to hang on your bridle, as in like on the horse.
Yeah.
Quite like the fact they've given a prize for the horse, because even now it's a cup and what does a horse want with a cup? I quite like the idea that the horse be like, yes, you can hear me coming. I'm a winner. I'm a champion. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, as they went on, they introduced more races. And in 1744, the Grosvenor Gold Cup was introduced. And the prize for that, you'll be unsurprised to learn, was a small tumbler made of solid gold.
Oh, I was hoping for platinum.
You then had the May Festival introduced in 1766 and the Tradesman Race Cup, the predecessor of what's now known as the Chester Cup, introduced in 1824. So, you know, the site became a hub for horse racing within the UK, and partly because of this history. I think that's the important thing, that like so many things about sport in particular, often it's the history that gives it its credibility, like, for example, the ceremonial burning of the bales that led to the Ashes, you know, the cricket match between Australia and England. So I think that's one of the significant aspects of it, just that it is so incredibly old.
It's kind of embarrassing for Chester, though, isn't it? You know, they should be so proud that they had the first horse racing meet in Britain and they've got this unchanged racecourse. And yet, if you asked anyone in the street, where do you think the first racecourse in Britain was? No one would say Chester, apart from people maybe in Chester. Everyone would say Ascot or Epsom or maybe even Windsor, because like there's a track right next to Windsor Castle, isn't there? You know the Royal Connection.
Yeah.
And I suspect it's a bit embarrassing for people up north that they lost this real heritage. I know they've got like York and other racecourses, but it's become a Southern English thing when they had it. And I wonder if the reason for that might be the Royal Connection. You know, since James I, Henry VIII, right the way through to Elizabeth II, there's been this royal interest and they couldn't be bothered to traipse up to Chester. Is that it?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of modern architecture of horse racing, so having Ascot, Epsom, Newmarket as being the hubs, did happen because of the royal patronage. And another hugely important part of horse racing that started developing later under James I was betting. When you went to Rodie Racecourse on this day in 1539, you wouldn't have been able to place a bet on a horse. The concept of gambling on races hadn't been invented, or certainly hadn't come to Britain. It wasn't until the early 1600s, during the reign of James I, who was another very keen horse racing enthusiast, that you started to have bookies at racecourses. Well, I have to say, not all rulers were big fans. One who wasn't, Oliver Cromwell, well known for not being a fan of very much. He banned a lot of things in his time, so this one might have passed you by. He actually banned horse racing temporarily twice.
Because of the gambling?
No, it was a weird one. He believed that the meetings provided a premise for the aristocratic attendees who would have been there to form, in his words, wicked and secret plots and devices, possibly against him. So he banned it because he didn't want all of these dukes and earls hobnobbing together and maybe murmuring about overthrowing Oliver Cromwell.
To be fair, I've been in the royal enclosure at Ascot, and if Cromwell was to come to power these days, that is where the plot would start.
The course itself has an interesting legend associated with us, which is that there's a point on it marked with a cross. And beneath that cross, there's meant to be a buried statue of the Virgin Mary that was sentenced to hang after causing the death of a woman called Lady Trost, wife of the governor of Hawarden. And the legend says that she'd gone to pray for rain during this particularly fallow period when there wasn't much rain about. But when her prayers were answered with this really torrential, tremendous thunderstorm, this statue fell on her and killed her, and the townsfolk didn't quite know what to do with this criminally. This is how the story goes, because a holy object couldn't be sort of tried, and it certainly couldn't be hanged or burned, but they did apparently subject it to a trial, so the story goes. And if the legend is true, and I'm conscious that now that I'm saying it, it probably isn't, this would be the first recorded case of a jury being used in a court. There you go, Rebecca, shoot that one down.
I feel like it shoots itself down.
Me too.
Well, I mean, you've come up with two curios there, Arian, related to this meet in Chester, but I would return to the one you mentioned in your opening link, all too briefly, in my view, the traditional Shrove Tuesday football match, which was outlawed and replaced on this day by horse racing. When health and safety is flagged as an issue in 1539, you've got to know that must be a crazy-ass sport. I mean, people were happy to let commoners die doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So I looked into it, and it's not only is it amazing that it existed and some of the myths around it is apparently that people were kicking around human heads and stuff in the Middle Ages, but more amazing is the fact that it still exists now. So there are still villages and towns across England where they play Shrove Tuesday football, which is essentially the men of the town and the youngish boys, like adolescent boys plus, gather in the middle of town. People say, do not bring your car to the town centre because it's going to get trashed. Do not go anywhere near the pubs. And the police basically turn a blind eye to these events because they're historic and traditional, have been going on for, you know, like it's innocent, like cheese rolling. They just ignore it. And then what happens is they sort of throw the ball up, which is like a little small leather thing now, obviously not a human head. And there's sort of like a scrum to try and get hold of it, but there are no rules, I'm not joking, apart from don't kill anyone. So apart from don't kill anyone, you're allowed to throw people into the river trying to pursue the ball. You're allowed to hold their head down. It's absolutely nuts. And it happens in places like Sedgefield still. It happens in Ashbourne. And I'm fascinated by that.
Even during my sportiest days, I don't think I'd want to have played that particular brand of football where it's who can throw who in the river so as to put a human head into a particular basket.
I thought that's what Aussie rules football was.
It isn't far off.
Well, the idea of this clearly, I mean, I'm making it sound bad. Obviously, for the people who do it, it has a lot of brotherly connotations and they basically all get drunk, don't they? That's the idea. You get drunk, you have fun with your fellow man playing an inherently absurd sport, and it's funny because... oh, so-and-so popped out their shoulder when he tried to get it from under the car. But, yeah. I mean, so weird. So weird that that's a medieval sport that is still practiced. Why do we not know more about that?
Yeah.
And why is it not on the BBC? They can't afford to broadcast horse racing anymore. So in a flip reverse of history, maybe they could start doing Shrove Tuesday football because I would watch that.
Tomorrow.
A Texan businesswoman sent a letter to MGM asking whether she could please have more of these cat and mouse shows.
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts,
part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.